The Chaser, 2008, Na Hong Jing. He directed it. This is a masterpiece of a movie. Let's get into our first experience with the movie, guys. Jordan, this is your first time watching it. Let's get your thoughts first.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really know what to expect. Again, I went in not reading anything about the movie, only seeing like the poster. I thought it would be like a similar vein to Thirst, and I realize now that obviously they're like two very completely different movies, and then the only commonality they have is that they were both filmed in Korea. But yeah, damn, suspenseful, exciting. You kind of like the story really gripped you, but I guess any kind of crime, whodunit, well, it wasn't even a whodunit because we know whodunit, but any kind of crime thriller, I guess they're designed to do that, aren't they? So yeah, it was really good. It was really good. I liked it a lot.
Tony, do you remember your first time watching this when I told you, bro, we have to watch this? And you're like, nah, bro.
Yeah, well, this shit. I came in wanting to hate this movie and I even tried to hate it, but the quality was definitely undeniable. It's just like such a great, well-made thriller. It's like on, like it's maybe a notch or two below seven. Like if that's how thrilling it is. But the first watch is definitely the best because the way the plot unfolds, it really keeps you on your toes. Because what the protagonist and the killer pretty much are in like fighting each other the first, like within like, I think minute 30, they're like punching each other and shit. So it's like, yeah, where's this movie going to go next? Yeah, the face to face.
That's right.
And I love how the pimp doesn't know what he's dealing with yet. He's just like, fucking, you just try to take my girls and I paid 20 grand for them. Like, I want them back sort of thing. Doesn't realize, like, he's a fucking psychopath killer.
Yeah. Well, talk about keeping things on. Oh, I'm going to sneeze. Yeah, Tony, on that note of keeping things, the movie keeping you on your toes is when he confesses at the police station. They, like, catch him in a lie and he's just like, I killed her. And they're like, what? What'd you say? I killed her. And he's like, he's foolish. The pimp's like, you're foolish shit.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I need you to find my girls. Like, I'm wasting money. Like, it's funny how he starts on this path of just in a selfish place. And after he meets the daughter, he's just like, God damn. Like, he gets invested.
He gets softened. Yeah.
Yeah, softened. He's a great character. Like, we'll talk about more in the movie, like the scene-to-scene breakdown. But, he kills it. The actor is amazing in it. So my first experience with this was me and Shorty were trying to like pick a good movie and stuff to watch. And I was definitely just watching Americanized movies. And he put like, oh, let's give this a chance. And I was like, okay, give it a chance. And it just like knocked my socks off. The way they showed the villain, like how devious and violent and just non-remorseful. Like you actually hate him. This is why our next movie that's coming up, you hate the villain just as much. If not more, I don't know. Tony, you watched both recently, Tony. Which villain do you hate more?
I think the Chaser.
Really?
Yeah, he's not like, I don't think he has any redeeming qualities about him. At first I thought he might be okay when she gave him reason to live, but then he was like, oh, fuck it, I'll kill her anyway. I was like, nah.
Yeah,
and then he killed the dog. Once he killed the dog, I'm like, nah, fuck this guy.
Yeah,
that was the moment. I was kind of on his side, but as soon as he killed the dog, it was over for me.
Remember Hudson Hawk, Tony, when he yeets the dog?
But that was funny. Yeah. That was in jest, you know.
Yeah, so this is a bit different.
Different vibes.
Yeah, I was so hyped before I watched this movie this time around. It's probably my third or fourth time watching it.
It wasn't as good.
Oh, wow,
like, it would have dipped in your
yeah, it was probably. I mean, it was like 45 minutes in. I was like, God, this movie's not as good as I remembered. And then as soon as you hit your like climax, oh my God.
That was probably one of my one criticisms, hey, is that like in the middle, it kind of dips off just that little bit and you're kind of like,
there's a bit of a
okay,
lull
well, I'm
there.
This, yeah, I'm this far through the movie. I need to watch the rest now. But it does take a little while for it to, you know, on that roller coaster to start coming back up.
Well,
so
for the tone of the movie, they're definitely going for realism and realistic. Like even the fight scenes are realistic. Apparently Shorty told me like obviously there's a bit of messaging towards the like Seoul government and police force, like how inept and, you know, useless they are. Like apparently this director was going for like if they were actually everyone did their job properly, she would have survived.
Oh, yeah. So, like, and yeah. Well, being discovered, like, way earlier and all kinds. Like, yeah, I did kind of think that would be, like, a realistic kind of angle to it. And, like, we'll think about, you know, other scenarios where the cops aren't particularly helpful with
so, different things. What I found to end in is very devastating. But I feel like when she dies, so spoilers, hopefully you've seen this movie before. But like the whole movie, you're rooting for this girl to make it out alive.
And like
that's the whole point. And when they and when she gets found and it's pretty how would you say artistic the way they shoot it and the way it's all shown, how she gets bludgeoned to death.
Well, I think that all the gore in this movie is done in a way where it's not Is it gratifying? No. But I feel like the filmmaker was like, you don't need to show everything.
He shows effective. Enough.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to show everything to be effective.
On that note, I feel like her dying makes the movie good to great. I feel like that's very important for like...
Yeah, but that's...
It's kind of needed.
But that's the Seven approach, Shane. That's what's in the box. That's why I compared it to Seven earlier.
That's probably true.
Very tragic.
On that point, when we were talking about the violence of it, like, he doesn't use it much, but he uses enough where, like, yeah, he uses it, like, enough that you don't want to see it again.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, fuck.
You're dreading it,
Yeah, he's like, oh, and you start wincing before the impact comes. He doesn't even show it, which is good. It's not like, you know, Hostel or anything like that where it's like gore porn. In this, it's just beautifully shot and just crafted really well. I love this director. He's the director from The Wailing, Tony, if you knew that, if you remember.
The Wailing?
Yeah, he directed The Wailing.
A much better film, The Wailing.
Nah, Hong Jin. Never worked. On IMDb, this is his highest rated film. So The Wailing isn't highly regarded like this.
I've heard The Wailing's underseen, though.
Yeah, might be. But this is just a simple plot in comparison. It's very easy to follow and frustrating. Very frustrating. You know what's cool, Tony? I also realized about this movie? Walter White has a lot in common with... The
pimp.
The killer in this film. No, the killer.
The killer.
The killer? Yeah.
Yes. Only because...
Explain.
The luck aspect. This guy is so... he can be unlucky too, but he's just lucky. Like even towards the end when he's about to be beaten with the hammer in the last sequence where he's in.
Mm.
He should have died, but the cops bust in and let him go.
But would he have worse than death now? He's going to be in prison for the rest of his life.
Who knows? He probably should. He will be now. He's like, fuck now. But
you reckon?
I don't know. Well, I just feel like, yeah, but in the movie though, he gets lucky a lot of times, like getting let out.
With the car literally crashing into his car. Yeah.
Yeah, that was actually quite funny.
I was like, whatever.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's heaps good.
It is good.
You know, he is looking for her as well. So he knows like roughly the location.
Yeah, it's set up to actually happen.
Hmm.
But yeah, there is definitely a big luck component to it, isn't there? 100%.
Actually, that's a good point for every character as well. But I feel like the only person who sort of wins is the psycho. Like, he was always going to get caught. It's just about to be eventually. I want him to die. Where do you sit, Tony? Do you want him to live or die?
I want him to die, man. I wanted the little daughter to kill him. I wanted her to avenge her mother's death. That's what I wanted.
Yeah, it's funny.
That's
funny
very epic.
Because visually we're looking at Tony right now rocking his baby around. And he's like, I want his daughter to kill him. So yeah. Tony's just a daddy's girl.
I'm sure my daughter will avenge my... death if I get killed.
Well, are you going to train her to be like death. A martial artist or something like that?
Is it Beatrix? That's her name from Kill Bill? Is that her name?
No, I was thinking about Leon the Professional, Tony. You can be the French dude.
Yeah.
So let's just get to our movie smear thing. I feel like we should just get into the actual film itself. So last week we would have heard Jordan talk about Thirst. It was a debacle, but we got through it.
Bro, I was trying my best.
No, you're right. So let's get some ingredients into our smoothie. So what would you call it, Tony? Like a smoothie is the best way to put it, or maybe bathroom sink?
No, a smoothie.
Tony's drawing a blank. Yeah, we just called it a smoothie then, eh, this week. Usually we just try to do something clever.
Usually if there's a cocktail or something. I think the only thing really ingested in this movie is smokes. A lot of smoking.
Legit. And then they're all running around and getting puffed out and stuff. And I'm like, we'll cut back on the cigs, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we've got cigarettes, unfit chase scenes.
Yeah.
Hammers, blood,
chisels.
Yeah. What else we got?
Goofy cops.
Yeah, goofy cops. It's a staple of most Korean movies. Yeah, it's subtitles. Yeah, mother-daughter relationship, like father-figure daughter relationship. Yeah, scars. Yeah, it's just, yeah, I think that's enough anyway. All right, Tony, what we got? What's our movie smoothie, Tony?
All right. So in this movie smoothie, I didn't get time, so I'm going to make it rhyme. This movie is about a man who can't get laid, another man who can't get paid, a mayor who gets shit-faced, a mother and daughter who... Wait. Sorry. I'll go again because it didn't rhyme. I got to bend the words like Eminem. A mayor who gets shit-faced. I should say a mayor who got shit-faced and a mother and daughter who got separated. A cops who are always two steps behind and a shopkeeper who's clearly dumb or blind. And that's the movie.
That was actually so good.
Yeah, that was really good, Tony. You always do good on that. That's perfect movie, really short. Everything else. Okay, so let's get into our opening scene.
100%.
Or opening montage type thing. So you get like this woman driving around. She gets picked up by the killer, presumably. I'm pretty sure it is. I can't even see their face. I can't remember now.
Oh, fuck. Dude, I'm sorry. I fucked up again with my movie smoothie. I was about to take a Hudson Hawk. I meant to say the run time of the movie, The Chaser, 1:59:56.
Well, yeah, it's a Hudson Hawk thing, is it?
We should do it every time now or not?
Oh, it's up to you. You can do it until you...
I still forget. Now, I forgot a question I was going to ask Jordan from last week with movie run times. And one of them was the Twilight movies. Can you guess the run times of the first two within like the first, like you have a 10 minute buffer? Yeah, plus or minus 10 minutes.
10 minute buffer. Okay.
Can you, don't Google it now.
No. I'm pondering like how long spiritually that feels to be there.
To be in that world. To be back with
Edward. To be in that world, bro. Yeah. I'm going to say 1:38.
Hour 38. So, Shane, what does it show?
Well, I'm going to guess 120. 120.
Wait, 125, like 125 minutes?
No, 120 minutes. 2 hours.
So 2 hours.
Yeah.
All right. Let me just Google the
it can't answer. It won't be that long because it just flies past.
I'm going 1:45.
Okay.
And the answer is 122 minutes. What the fuck?
Oh.
So I was 2 minutes off.
So Shane, that would be good.
Shane's the real fan.
Yeah, I'm a real fan. I just remember.
Well, we have covered that movie, so Shane should.
Yeah,
know.
We've covered it before, and I just was thinking, like, I think I even said this is 2 hours long. What the fuck?
What about the Twilight Saga New Moon?
It's about okay. 130.
New Moon is it's a bit longer. I'm gonna say 1:38 again.
1:38.
Yeah.
I know the answer this time.
Just say it. Hurry up.
2 hours and 10 minutes.
So holy shit!
I was on the nose again. Was I?
100%. Yeah. Pretty good.
There is a lot that goes on in that movie. Okay. You know, traveling overseas, things like that. All right.
Hopefully, that's out of Tony's system now. Let's get to our opening.
No, I still got to do it last week.
Yeah, so let's go opening scene of the movie. So there's a woman driving around with our killer. The pimp is already like, oh, my God, if I find this son of a bitch, you're dead.
Well, actually, the first time you – well, maybe I wasn't paying enough attention. But this – like in this watch, I kind of forgot what happened. And I thought he was a cop. And like you first see him like trying to work it all out. I don't think it's revealed he's a pimp until after the first scene. And like the first thing he says, you bitch, you're dead if I catch you. Like I thought he was talking about the killer. Not his girl.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's kind of fucked
and
up.
And then bang. And then there's like a, I think the credits come and this dude like dropping flies around for the pimp's business, essentially.
You really get the impression that he's like they don't set it up to make him a likable character at the start at all.
No way.
Funny though.
Just completely selfish. Like when he rocks up to his office, he's like so relaxed. He's like, I think he's get thrown like all these like questions and stuff and just answers it. Like he's in control of the situation, just making money hand over fist.
I feel like he's a good pimp though, right? Because like the girls seem to respect him and he
Like he just does his job. He just beats people up if he has to.
Yeah, he can protect them all right, too. Like, he's pretty baller.
He's, I don't know. He's already missing. So one girl's already been killed, and he just thinks they're just like getting sold.
Like, do you think she was? He thinks that they ran away, right?
He thinks that some guy poached them essentially, and then said, like, if you go to a different country, we'll pay you more money. Blah, blah, blah. That's what he thinks is happening. Anyway. The way that his office looks.
I thought some guy was just romancing him, Shane, and getting him to quit the business. Same guy.
It could be
Pretty Woman, but you know,
like what Andrew Tate did.
He's losing
the girls either by them just running away or getting killed. So he's losing out on.
But you don't think it's believable that a man could get a woman to, well, multiple women to quit the business?
Well, if you have enough money, they'll quit. So that's what they're doing.
No, but like your personality and love.
I wouldn't. That's cringe, bro. That's exactly what some fucking loser like you.
Love,
she loves me.
Is powerful stuff.
So, yeah. Shane, do you think they'll only care about money? Prostitute.
In that situation, yes.
You don't watch Pretty Woman.
They do it for love, bro.
Education, Shane. Watch Pretty Woman. That's what every prostitute
wants. That's how every prostitute wants. They want someone to sweep them off their feet.
Pretty much a rich man to sweep them off their feet. Yeah.
As I said to her, like his office as well, it looks like there's a lot of stolen goods in there. And like he's just making a buck any way he can.
So and he's got his little lackey dude that's just there to do whatever.
Yeah. We cut to the next scene and there's this like a prostitute. She goes up to this motel
room. I'm guessing
room.
She's a nominee, Shane, for your golden girl.
Yeah, she probably... Nah, I'll give it to our girl who gets killed. She needs something for her life. So the mother, she will get the golden girl. She was pretty beautiful. She wasn't really sexy per se. Like she was sick or she was about to get murdered. So not very sexy lights. She was
showing. She didn't have a good time.
Anyway, so we're at this something. She wants to get freshened up. And the guy's like, no, don't. And she goes into a room and this guy with a camcorder is there trying to record the whole thing. And it's just like far out. Like things escalate very quickly. It cuts to like old mate coming inside. Was she raped or something? What happened to her?
I think they like slapped her around a bit.
They would have beat her up.
But did they take her clothes off too?
No. I think the motel staff got involved too.
Either way, this guy's naked, screaming at her. Hey, la, la, la. And the pimp's just there. He's just like, just kind of scoping out, waiting for the girl to leave. And he starts slapping the dude around. And he essentially extorts him for more money. It kind of doesn't do the right thing because the worker like sees him counting the money through the reflection to the car. I don't know if he's going to share it with her or what the hell is the go. It's pretty shit. Like, I don't think she got paid for that experience, I guess, but who knows how their hourly wage works. It's getting pretty crazy. So he needs another worker. She's got the shit. She quits because he doesn't really care about any of the girls. That's what
they keep running away from me. Like, they're ripping me off. Like, just like, wait, why don't you care? Like, they're missing. Like, try to do something
exactly.
About it. Yeah.
That's right. So he's just like treating them as props to his business, not as people.
Well, and that just gets reaffirmed in the next scene where, like, the other chick is literally, like, on her deathbed. Like, she's sick as sick. And he's like, get up and go to work.
It's great makeup. You know? Oh, it's so crazy, too, because in the phone, he's saved as filth. Like, that's how he's saved as a contact.
Yeah.
In the girl's phone is filth. I always found that was pretty interesting as well. And then, on that point, too, Jordan, he's just like, he thinks she's faking it. He's like, you're full of shit. She caves in. And this is kind of like the guilt he might feel as well, why he's so relentless in trying to find her. Like, maybe he feels a bit ownership of, or maybe he's just trying to, like, there's a lot of stuff.
At the start, he's like, fuck, I'm wrong with this girl too.
Yeah. But, like, there's a little bit to do with faith and stuff. Like, maybe he's like at the towards the end, he's like at the church staring at Jesus on the cross. I wonder what that tries to mean. There's always a lot of messages from this director. He always likes to pepper through.
I think him looking at the cross was just a hint of where, like, actually, this is in this location, so he's close. I saw that in his
old drawings.
All
the drawings.
Shane, come on, bro. Do you think he found Jesus in that moment and prayed to him?
I was thinking, like, oh, what should I do? Should I, like, okay, fair enough. Maybe I thought it was like a find Jesus moment, maybe. I don't know.
No. He just. Yeah. The best thing about this movie, he is the best detective, the pimp. He was so good at his job. And like the only thing that, well, obviously his downfall though, he was dirty and greedy, but he's still good. He's still one of the best detectives. He's like a Sherlock Holmes motherfucker.
Well, he's amazing because he finds like a phone underneath the car seat or in the car seat. It's the girl's phone that's gone missing.
Mm-hmm.
And he like clocks that there's that 4485, I think the number is. He's, oh shit, and kind of connects the dots. Like, wait, this is the same guy who's just caught up for another girl.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to gear up going, look, tell me where you're at. Like, I don't know where you are, blah, blah,
and
blah.
Not like, oh, he's dangerous. Stay away from him. Just like, all right, I want to get this bastard.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, like, no, well, he thinks they're stealing girls, but instead he's a sick freak serial killer. So they couldn't have got any worse. Mm. It's pretty funny, though, because, like, he thinks shit's going to go down. So calls his, like, you get introduced to, like, the cops, essentially, and they're all just laid back
in the fucking detail. Car.
Security detail and like just lazy. Like, well, one guy's picking at their nails and shit. And the, you can tell they have history. He's like, oh, I need a hand. I don't like, he's trying to get their like assistance to like track this dude down and like, you know, probably just beat him up or whatever, extort him for more money. Like, don't steal my girls. But then all of a sudden, the mayor gets shit thrown on his face and the cops, like, and like the public. And this is what kind of fucks up the girls' life, essentially.
All right. Do you guys do shits like this? Like, no, fucking water you like this shit?
No, I feel like someone has a problem.
Yeah, someone has IBS. More fiber or something. I don't know. And what do you think, like, he shit in his hand, this dude? Did he?
No, he had it in a napkin or something.
Oh, okay. I thought he just like, he just put it up, like just shit in
his hand. It was like in a handkerchief.
I would have it preloaded. No. I wouldn't have it in a nappy. I would have it in my art. Well, I would have it in my body still. Like, loaded to go.
And shit on it and just go throw it like a monkey.
Yes. Exactly. Yes.
So it's that's nice and warm.
Yeah. Make that's sure it's gross. Fresh.
That is so gross.
It was actually all gross, this scene. Like, the toenails, the shit throwing. Like, that's what I'm saying. Joel, we talk about this in Thirst, but like how the tone can be everywhere. Like, you look at Seven, this shit does not happen in the movie Seven.
No.
Seven, the tone is just consistent.
It was kind of a weird, like, I feel like this wasn't, like, a necessary bit of the film. Like, I know they were trying to, like, present it as, oh, the reason why they couldn't help us because they were busy trying to sort out the mayor, but...
Well, no, it was just about putting the pressure on the police force to, like, get things right, because apparently it's a bad look for the public. Well, it's about, in the public's eyes, it's a bad look for the police to be so inept that the mayor got shit thrown in the face. They can't have like someone get convicted or like arrest someone without enough evidence. That's all it is.
The lawyer was like, the only reason why you're pushing this guy is to save face. Mm-hmm. Like, you probably got the wrong guy right now. That's what who was that dude that told him to let him go? The mayor's aide or something? I don't know who it was, but
it's probably some mayor. But I think it was a lawyer at first.
He pushed the agenda like, no, you're just doing this because the mayor got shot in his face. He just wanted this is a distraction. Like, yeah, we found the killer. Look, but
That's exactly right. That's why they're trying to push it through. Yeah. He's confessed, and that guy probably sees right through it. Like, no, which is insane because they're missing the whole point. Like, where is the girl? They're not even concerned about anything else. Answer should be, where's the girl? Not like, let's get a confession out of him. Let's like arrest him. Let's do this. It's not, all the priorities are all fucked up. Like, that should be it. Anyway,
it's all optics, all politics.
Yeah. So she's walking to this guy's house. It's a fucking shithole. There's
a lot of red flags. If you're this chick.
Yeah, a lot of red flags.
Why wouldn't you just turn around?
The house in disarray. Like,
no, even when she walks in, like, it's the front door is so locked up as well. It's like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like, people are freaks or whatever. Yeah, she just goes, like, oh, can I go to the bathroom? Or, like, forgot my condom. Blah, blah, blah.
He's doing it perfectly.
Feral bathroom as well. Like that.
Yeah.
Even before she saw the clump of hair in the drain, that bathroom was a red flag. Same with the dog. Mate. If I rocked up somewhere and someone's dog looked like that, I'd be like, what the fuck? And leave. So mean.
Well, it's cool,
but
though.
She's getting paid to be there, remember, Jordan?
Yeah, she's getting paid. Yeah, she's probably been in similar situations before, but just not like as dire. But no, she's on the bathroom. She gets the address, types it in. She's like, oh, no signal. And so she goes close to the window to get a signal. And then she realizes, holy shit, I'm bricked in. And this is, as a movie goer, as a movie watcher, you're like, oh, fuck. And then she sees like hair in the corner, like near the sink. And that's like, okay, get the fuck out of there, girl. And a good thing about the movie is she comes with a good excuse. You know, I left my condom in the car, got to go. It's like, yeah, that's fine. And he's sitting there fucking, this fucking cocksucker. He's like a little smirk on his face. He's just like,
knowing, yeah.
Yeah, it's already too late for
it.
Yeah, he gets to the door. That's right. She gets to the door and there's like a padlock on the door. And then you cut. Does she turn around and he's standing there? I can't remember now, but I just
no,
remember,
no,
like,
just cut.
She's tied
cut
up.
To the pimp.
Yeah.
Cut to the pimp, look at the time, like, what the fuck's this text message?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so yeah, cut to her. She's tied up, hands behind her back. It's so, the way he acts too, he's in his underwear, like pretty much naked. Yeah, he's underwear. He drops his bags of tools right near her face. You hear the clanging of it all.
So
he's just toying.
Was the other cop's diagnosis correct? He's doing this because he can't have sex?
Is I that why he's doing like it?
That's why he reacted so strongly. I think so.
Yeah. Okay. I think so. Agree. I think so. Right. I just think, and he's like a psychopath. Like, he just kills without any remorse. When he killed that dog, man, that's so fucked up. It's like, hey, doggy, come here. The dog comes up. Because he didn't want to hurt anyone. That's what I hate about, like,
but the thing is, yeah,
so
why kill the dog? It's not out of survival. It's like the dog won't fucking,
Oh, because, no, it did bring attention to him. Because
oh, like, it was digging up the bodies?
Like, well, that and the and couple that's like, people. Oh, you're so skinny. He wasn't even feeding the fucking dog. That's another thing. He wasn't even feeding the dog either. It was, like, scavenging down dead bodies, essentially. So fucked. Like, my partner would fucking kill the guy if he didn't get killed first.
Yeah.
Yeah, he asks, like, she's tied up. He asks her, is there any reason for me to let you live? She goes, I have a daughter. And that, like, it just washes over him. Like, he don't give a fuck about that. And then this is what's fucking in. The way he treats her is what really pisses me off. Like, it's just an inconvenience that she's squirming. It's like, oh, can you stop fucking around? And then he puts a chisel on the back of her neck, like the back of her head, sorry. He's trying to hit it. He hits his own finger. It's all fucking disturbing, intense shit.
The use of sound in this is so just realistic. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's really all realistic. This is, you feel this. You feel like you're in the room with them.
That's and that actress is really giving everything she's got in
yeah,
this
she's
scene.
Great.
It's so good as well because I think they really built it up at the start. You know, like when they're climbing the stairs up to the house together, you can really tell that fear is there for her, and like it builds the suspense up so well by having like all those close up shots of her face and things like
this
that.
This is a masterclass
feeling off, you know,
of suspense. Like, I don't know. I think my heart rate's like always is. I thought it was high throughout the whole movie, but even when I know what happened too, I was like that fight scene towards the end between the two of them. It fucking got to me, hey.
Bro.
It's so fucked up because you just know, like, they're both useless in a weird way. It's just funny. But, yeah, no, she gets hit with the hammer because he loses, like, patience with her. And this is kind of like the ticking clock of the movie. Like, you know she's bleeding out. You know she's still, like, she could be alive. Like, this is, like, the suspense driver. But he is, like, someone's at the gate. It's these two people that, like, know the owner of the house, which he's presumably killed, and he's like living there, and he's just like writes him off, and then they go, oh, the dog, like, you haven't been fed, you look so skinny, and he's like, oh shit, like, this might go further, like, they might investigate. He's like, oh no, come inside, they're inside.
They I would have been so sus after that, like, after he like blatantly like shoot us away, to be like, yeah, no, he's asleep, like, I know him.
This one's about the luck factor thing too. Like, luckily, they just didn't go, no, fuck you. I'm going to, you know, get the police, whatever.
Yeah.
They go inside. He streamlines to get the hammer. He just walks towards them with it and just, I think it's a cut to black.
No, he goes, why do you keep bothering me? Just kills them both.
Yeah. Yeah, but you don't see it, though. You don't see him.
You got the black.
You see him with the hammer. Yeah. So now he has to deal with all these bodies and shit and move their car and hire the new bodies, essentially. And the pimp's there. He's still waiting for the call. This is their first interaction. Like, he accidentally hits the car.
Now, does the killer recognize the car? Because when the first time...
No. He's just freaking out.
He just wants to get out of there.
He's just like... And I love the way this is filmed too. Like, old man's like, oh, yeah. No. Like, he actually... That's what
he's like, fuck. He's, now go for insurance and this bullshit.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, goddamn. Like, he just goes, okay, give me your number. Like, nonchalantly, like, just give it to me. Like, let's just get this done. He wants to get it done quick as well. And so the man's like, no, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And he just clocks like, well, this guy's acting weird.
No, he clocks
like,
the
no,
blood
no,
on his shirt, Shane.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but like before that, though, he just
No, he didn't care. No, he didn't care. He's like, oh, don't lay that on me. Like, I know you're going to try to screw me over later.
Okay.
But so he only acts suspicious when he sees the blood on his shirt.
Yeah.
He's like, no, this exactly fucker.
Yeah, he sees the blood, the splatter.
This is his detective like Dexter work. Tony.
Yeah. And then the movie lives up to its name. The chase begins. Like, he goes around. He's like, I got you. Wait, hold on. We should actually talk about when he calls the phone. He's just like, you going to pick that up? And he's like, oh, shit. Like, he's got him. Like, that's what I love about it. Like, he's got him so early. And you think, oh,
so confident.
Yeah, it's what Tony's talking about, though. Like, where does the movie go from here? Like, where does it actually go? Like, this is how you probably experience it, John. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. Like, you don't really get your killer this early. And I was like, this isn't enough evidence just to, like, prove whatever, though.
Yeah.
You know, so, and, like, so what are the cops aren't going to care if, like, because in his impression that he's just stealing, like, recruiting other people's prostitutes. The cops aren't going to care about that. So I was from here, I was like, all right. Where's it going to go? Where is it going to go?
But I do like how he just takes off and they like start running after each other. They're both unfit. And like at one point you think, oh, he's just give up. He's going to give up running. And no, he just like finds the extra gear.
It's funny. You see like the pace of them running slowing down a lot too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. The way he shoots it, it's always interesting though. Like it's so different than most movies. Like you watch what's that one? Point Break. And that it is a good chase in Point Break, but that's like at 100 the whole time. And they're like jumping through windows and fucking there's dogs around and like there's a like shoots in the air. Like it's actually quite fulfilling, but it's so different. Like it's not Hollywood. Like it's not Hollywoodized, this movie. And then when he does catch him, it's funny how easily overpowered this dude is. Like he just starts beating him and shit.
Like, the fists are flying throughout this whole movie, actually. Like, there's no... Yeah, everyone's always hitting someone.
Yeah, but they're both... So crazy. Like, he's so exhausted as he's beat up. And he's, like, pretty much laying on him, just, like, giving him elbows and shit. Like, shut the fuck up. he pretty much cuffs him up, takes him to the car. But since the cars have been parked there so long, police have gotten involved. And, like, what the fuck's going on? And they go straight away, hey, what are you doing? Like, you can't park the cars like this. They're going, like, oh, no, so any... Then he notices that he's cuffed up and then they both get arrested.
He was like, you a cop? He's like, yeah, I'm a cop. He's like, where's your badge? That's the police station.
whatever. And he gets caught out pretty much straight away. Yeah, so they're both arrested and he's just like, I want my girls. Like, he doesn't know the severity of, like, the situation yet. And, like, the whole time you're just like, I don't know about you, John, were you worried about the girl in the bathroom?
I thought she was gone.
Oh, damn it.
Straight away.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Bro, because how do you take a blow to the head like that and just be like, yeah.
Well, I feel like for the movie, it works better if you know she's alive. Like at this point, I know you it gets revealed later that she's alive. But I feel like, I don't know, I think my first impression, I thought she was alive too. I didn't think the job was done.
You think she's dead. But when she is alive, that's when the glimmer of hope starts in this movie. It's like, oh my God, she's going to make it.
Yeah.
And then the whole movie's, more of a gut punch. Yeah.
That's true. So this guy is such a fucking piece of shit. He like blames his bad memory for shit like that. Like, oh, I don't know where my phone is. I don't know all this bullshit. Like he's just playing dumb. And this one cop who notices the cuffs, he's actually not a bad cop because he's does a little trick to him. He's like, your number's 16. He's like, yeah. And he's like, you see, you don't have a phone.
Yeah. Why did and you then, lie? Like,
Why did you lie? And he's just, oh my God. And this one he goes, I've killed him. Like, he confesses about killing the girls. And then the pimp's just like, he's lying. He's like using his alibi. He's like killing him. He's selling him, like saying this shit. And then, like, because it's such a big deal that they this guy's confessed. Like, I think the police chief got wind of it. And now it's like a big deal whoever gets to expose. Like, because it's all over the news. These people are gone disappearing and stuff. So whoever gets to catch it gets good press. Good. It's all about publicity now. And when the police chief rocks up and he sees like all the police officers, some of them got like a shirt off, I think, or just at least stripped down. And like the only guy who's like kind of calm is the killer, which is like crazy.
Yeah, that's true.
Like how crazy it all got. And then it's funny though, because the guy just wants his girls back and like because they're mates with the other cop. He just goes like, you can beat him in the other prison. Like, you can beat him at the police station. That's what he says to him. Like, you can beat him up later. Like, you get a confession out of him. You guys want to talk about that scene, Tony, or not?
No. I'm liking all this. But there's a sense of like, you, because the movie's so early in, you're like, he's getting out of this somehow.
Yeah, I know, how, right?
He's getting out of this. Like, yeah. And like, you feel like he knows too, because he's so calm. Like, yeah, I'm right.
Mm.
Yeah, his calmness is what's unsettling.
Mm. Mm.
So I think as he gets, like, the old mate's getting transported to the actual, like, the big police station. I think you cut back to the house and you see like the two dead bodies there of the person like who was outside, and you get her. I don't know if you get to see her breathing or not, but you get a close up of her at this point. And then you cut back to him and then he's just confessing. He's like, they ask her how you kill the girls. He says like, I use a chisel and a hammer. So he knows a lot of information about the deaths, but has any body been recovered yet? No bodies have been recovered yet, have they?
No, and I think that's why they don't hold him, right? That's why they're like, how do you know he's just not crazy and just like talking?
True.
Isn't that how he gets out?
Yeah, I think so. But I just can't remember, like, well, he gives a lot of details.
Evidence. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Not enough evidence was shown anyway. I think he gets his bold friend, the pimp's bold friend, to go door to door, like try to find, because he knows the area. He just doesn't know the specifics, essentially. Mm. So it's actually quite frustrating. You get all this, like this so close, but yet so far away at the same time. Like, that's his tension. The whole time of the movie, anyway. It's pretty cool though, because like they're getting, like, they're questioning him, they take his prints, saliva and shit. He's like giving information like there's not 9 but 12 people I've killed. It's pretty intense.
11 and a half.
Oh yeah, true. He hasn't not yet. I'm pretty sure he's just like eating chocolates as well, isn't he? He's just fucking chilling. This guy, like this,
relaxed.
Yeah, but it gets worse for him anyway. It gets way worse. It's just funny though, because old mate just wants, like, the pimp wants to find this house, and so the only route he has now is to go to the girls, like the mother's home, and so he, like, breaks into the window, and turns out his daughter's there, and he's like, "Why didn't you tell us you were home? Like, we'd have to smash the window up." Yeah, it's pretty funny though, because they kind of give each other shit, the daughter and him. It's like,
yeah, they got sleep, good chemistry. Don't have
sleep. Yeah. They have really good chemistry. Like, it's almost like a different type of movie too. Like, there's like father daughter type moments going on. The way
that is always nice, isn't it? And I feel like that's the thing. Like, this movie is so dark and like intense the full way through. They needed something that was that bit of relief, and I think that relationship was that bit of relief.
Yeah, true. Well,
I think you missed an important moment. Like,
what's that?
The pimp, as soon as he gets out of the police station, he goes to search the car he hit, and then he found the keys as well.
Oh yeah,
like, this is what the cops should have done in the first place.
Yeah, that's true. Like, he finds the killer's keys, right?
Yeah, so many keys.
Yeah, well, this guy must just be like just killing and then living in the house.
Yeah, I reckon he has like 6 places he just goes to hide out.
It's insane. It's cool though, because it's like having it set in a foreign place. Well, not for us it's foreign, but for them it's local. But you kind of like you buy into this world so much easier, and like why the cops are so bad, and like you just accept a lot of things.
Mm,
like if it was in America, like this stuff wouldn't fly. Like half this shit, you couldn't really remake this movie.
Yeah,
you could remake the movie, but you have to change a lot. Like,
yeah, English remake. Who are you casting?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Right, who am I casting?
I'll go first. Al Pacino as the pimp.
He's too old.
In his 40s, like in the Heat era, around that age.
I was kind of leaning towards that too.
And then Steve Zahn as the killer, because he's got that look at him, like the innocent look.
Steve Zahn's good, because he's got like, he can, you know, he's a comedic actor sometimes. But no, Steve Zahn's really good, because he can be a psycho. Actually, remember that movie we watched, Tony, with
Perfect Getaway.
Yeah, it shouldn't spoil it. I think we might have, but anyway, no, regardless.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Yeah, so I would cast, I don't know, for some reason, Josh Brolin, even though he did the Old Boy remake, I think he'd be good as ex-cop.
As the pimp. No, you need someone that can pull up the comedy, Shane. That's what Pacino did.
Yeah, but it's not going to be comedy, mate. There's going to be no comedic stuff.
No, but there is comedic elements in the performance.
True. So you kind of like maybe Jim Carrey as Fingerling in this role.
Jim Carrey? Are you serious?
Yeah. Fingling. Number 23, him acting like that. Fingling. Remember?
Yeah, okay. All right, yeah, George, what about you?
Mm-hmm.
Don't say Robert Pattinson.
Oh, actually, that's not too bad. Having him as the killer, Robert Pattinson.
Actual, though, because he kind of pulls off Batman, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like that would actually kind of work. The other person that came to my mind actually was, what's his name? What the heck?
Jacob Elordi.
No. The guy that plays Iron Man.
Robert Downey Jr.
As the investigator. Yeah, and then I think, I know, it's probably just because we've been, like, there's been a theme of him lately, but Barry Keoghan for the murderer.
Yeah.
Because he could, like, if he took the same elements from Killing of a Sacred Deer, he'd probably be, like, that perfect, like, innocent but, like, fucked up kind of, you know, how do you take this guy situation that you kind of get with the murderer in this. Yeah.
Well, so essentially when he leaves the mother's house, he like closes the door and the last bit of window breaks and he sees the daughter there and he's like, okay, come on. And they have lunch together and shit.
Sus, though. An active crime scene and stuff.
Well, yeah. So Tony, this is where he finds the keys, but he tries to throw a cigarette out the window. And that's when he like burns the back of his thing. He's like, get it. And I think that's when he finds the keys. So.
No, he doesn't find the keys then. No.
Oh, no, he doesn't find the keys. No, he finds the phone. Sorry.
Yes.
He finds the phone and he finds that his name is Phil. And he's like, oh, shit. So now he's kind of, I think he's trying to view himself how other people view him. Yeah, so, so pretty much cut back to the police station. The police chief is under heaps of pressure. You can definitely get that. He needs the case closed. But he keeps talking about the evidence isn't strong enough yet. And, like, he's confessed. Like, they don't really understand. It's frustrating, especially for the viewer, too. You're just like, what the fuck? Like, get shit sorted. It's not an official confession.
That's what they want, eh?
What's happening in the movie at the moment? Like, it bounces from the killer and the police shit and then goes to the investigation side of things with our pimp. So now the pimp's rocked up to the killer's sister's house and he's interviewing the sister and the brother-in-law. It's all pretty like, they're pretty much saying this guy's, you know, we don't really like to see him anymore. And this kid walks out. He's got like an L-shaped scar on his head. And instantly, you know, like the fucking uncle did it.
Mm.
His own flesh and blood. And like the kid starts peeing himself and shit. It's all fucking disturbing. I don't know whatever descriptive word you could use for this. It's really sad. It's so sad. She pretty much She says, like,
it just makes me feel sick for sure.
Yeah. It's like, we left him home alone.
What did he do to the kid?
We just came home and he was like this, and uncle was the only one that was home, like the actual killer.
So fucking weird.
It's so sick. It's just sick. It's not nice. But yeah, so you cut to the sick freak himself. He's like alone. Like, when I first watched this man, I was like, fuck, this killer could do anything. Like, he's just a live wire, essentially.
Do not turn your back on him. That's how I feel. Yeah. Like. Watch him.
Yeah, it's him and her, like the female cop, by themselves in a room. And she's just asking more questions and shit. And he's just like saying, like he's testing her patience. He's like, oh, yeah, like you look better with long hair. Like, she's pretty, like kind of demeaning the way he's talking to her. And then like he brings up a period. And she's like, what the fuck?
Fucking weird, bro.
It's gross. But yeah, now he like, he won't even confess anymore as well. Turns out he has like a history of like, I wouldn't say lying, but, you know, confessing and then not getting prosecuted. And
damn.
So it's just like a bit of more pressure. So he's been in this situation before and he's been released because of lack of evidence. So that some people think he's just an attention seeker. That's what some people think about him. And that's like, fuck, we can't, like, we need the evidence. It's just the tension there. So it's tension coming from every direction. It's crazy. Yeah, so the pimp wants info on the cell phone number and he beats a dude with a folding chair to get it. It's pretty funny.
That was funny.
Just sitting there. He's just like, fuck you.
He kind of tries to alpha him. And then the pimp tries to alpha the dude. Then the guy stands up. He's like, way taller. He's like, oh, okay. And then he goes like, I need a weapon. And then, yeah.
Yeah, he just grabs a folding chair and whacks him on the head.
Looks pretty good stunt too.
I don't know why. Like, it's just so funny how inept these cops are. because I know who gets a bright idea, but some guy's like, where would you hide the bodies? In the mountains. And then they all just go up to the mountains and shit.
Well, no, one of the lines is like, he's not going to bury it in his front yard.
Yeah,
and
no.
And like, that's exactly what he did.
It's exactly what he does. That's right. But like, why are they digging out there? Like, it's just so crazy.
Because the killers did say that that's where they buried him. Oh, no.
Mm.
No, I think they started digging after he gave him the wrong location.
It's interesting, like, the pimp is doing, like, the actual police work. Like, he's going to, like, tracing numbers and doing this other shit. And they're just fucking around in the mountains looking, like, digging up
dirt. Yeah, look. Like, no, I don't think they're digging. I think they're just looking around, right? To see if they can find anything.
Yeah, looking for something. Yeah, exactly. It's just wasting time.
Yeah.
So it says, according to the prostitutes, the killer wouldn't get an erect penis. So he must be talking to one of his girls, and he's like, he couldn't get it.
This is when
it
gets sad. This is when the little girl realizes that actually, is my mum in danger? Is this what's going on?
Yeah, she kind of hears that.
Yeah, she's definitely the heart of the film. That's when you actually, your emotions really get pulled when she's like, is involved.
Yeah, they really push that, don't they, as well, showing like the pictures of them on the fridge together and little flashbacks.
Well, he's manipulating
and stuff.
You because. You pretty much see her crying and they cut to the mother and she's alive and there's no doubt about it. She's tied up but you know, like, oh shit, there's hope for this little girl now. Like, they're really just pulling your fucking heartstrings.
Doesn't the pimp at one point call the little girl a bitch?
Oh, mate, I think
calls her a little prick.
What a bitch.
It was going back and forth.
Yeah, because she called him out in a lie when he's like, oh, my dad's in Brazil. But obviously what happened to her dad, who knows?
Yeah, well, that's what the mother told him. A mother told her, so.
Oh, he's calling the mother a bitch. Ah.
No, he's calling, I don't know who's he calling. Yeah. They're looking for someone called Meathead, and they find him. I think it's, like, fortuitous as well. I think they kind of, like, bump into him. And they have, like, another good chase scene. It's, like, 2-on-1, though. Meatloaf gets
this guy knows about...
Yeah, he knows. I think they live together.
Okay, so he knows how
Or maybe he was renting underneath him. Something confusing about these two, but he knows of him. But yeah, this dude's fucking crazy, bro, because he gets the upper hand on the bald dude and he's got to, like, smash his head with a cinder block.
Yeah.
Like, it escalates so quickly and you're like, fuck, this could happen. And luckily, there's 2-on-1 and he gets it. And then, like, you get this common thread of, like, this tactic they use to interrogate is just by beating people up. So now they're just beating this dude up for information. They beat him up till they talk.
Interesting strategy, but it's used a lot throughout the movie.
Yeah, so they interrogate her. The daughter, like, sees a woman just walking the street, and she's like, oh, that's my mum. This is kind of confused. I don't know how she gets hurt. Maybe she gets hit by, like, a bike messenger or something.
Yeah.
How did the little girl get hit, Tony? It wasn't really explained, was it?
What's the story?
The little girl. So it's when they're, like, fucking up Meatloaf and getting information from her.
Doesn't they cut the
from
flag?
Him. Well, sorry? No. Yeah, well, I think so. But, like, you know, it's a little girl is in the car with the bald dude. The bald dude's like, I need to get some fucking rest.
Oh, she just runs away, right?
He runs away, but how does she get hurt?
Yeah, but then she ends up, like, knocked out
on the
by
ground,
something.
Hospitalized. She gets hospitalized, remember?
Yeah, I don't really know.
It doesn't get revealed.
Tony doesn't even pay attention. Doesn't get revealed, but, yeah, she gets hospitalized. It's not good. Now you cut to a psychiatrist and the killer. He's just... Call on out, have a get your dick hard.
He's just roasting you pretty
hard.
Much.
He's like, you use a chisel as an extension of your penis. And this guy's like, say it again. Like,
that's like the dumbest fucking thing, though. Like,
yeah, I know. Yeah.
So dumb.
Was it correct, Jordan?
I don't think that would be connected like that. You could say that it's maybe caused by like a power dynamic issue, something like that, feeling inferior and wanting to take out like. Feeling inferior to women and wanting to take that anger out on them or something like that. But I don't think a chisel would be an extension of his penis.
Yeah. It's very strange, though, with the villain of this movie. Like, you've seen him get overpowered. You see him in handcuffs. But for some reason, he's still very intimidating. Like, when he stands over the psychiatrist, like, you're worried for him. You know?
Yeah.
Because you've seen him just be so violent and just, like, no... feelings, no nothing, like a robot almost.
Yeah, and then that's the thing, the audience knows what he's capable of, and so you're watching that kind of get close
to that.
Unit. Yeah.
Yeah. The killer kind of loses it at the police station as, like, the wallpapers are losing it on the walls because, like, you kind of see how psychotic this fucking psycho is. There's, like, drawings everywhere. it's a really good scene, like visually, because you just see like, fuck, what is wrong with this dude?
And it's when he realizes that, okay, my girl's very much in danger.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not about selling.
Yeah.
It's not about selling. Yeah, he kind of he buys into the fact that this guy's not stealing my girls, he's killing people.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny though, because the girl's like missing from the car when he comes back out. And they're like, oh, fuck, when you find her, they run away, run to find her, and the guy runs the same direction as him. Yeah, he's like, not the same direction.
Yeah, not that way.
Yeah, that way.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah, you find her in the street. She's got bruised face and shit.
Yeah, she's like laying on the pavement or something. And like, there's like noodle dishes everywhere. So she probably got hit by who knows, a biker or something.
Yeah. This kind of like pushes our pimp over the limit. So he like goes back to the police station and he's going to beat the guy up for information.
So he tells him.
He's actually fucking him up. And he gives him, he still lies though. He gives him some bullshit area 20 minutes away from where they found him originally, like when they bumped into cars together. And so all the cops are there now. They're like, oh, you can't dig with walkie-talkies. Go, go, go. It's like even there, like they can't even dig up holes, like these fucking cops. That's how much they fucking suck. Pimp's like the only good cop again. So he's just staring at the map like.
I'm just like, this doesn't make sense. Like nothing, yeah, we're finding nothing.
Yeah, it's a 20-minute walk. Like, why would he bury the bodies out here? It doesn't make any sense.
Someone's using their noggin.
Yeah, it's essentially the mayor's aide, we'll call him that, or whoever it is.
Some girl's power.
He sees the guy's face. You see how beaten up he is. He's just like, I want answers. I want the guy who did it.
Yeah, it's like, so you're just going to beat up a random person on the street just so you can find your killer. No. This is very bad for the police department.
That's right. Yeah, so they want the guy, and they try to arrest him, and he runs through the like area with all his police chasing him and shit.
Dude, it's so dumb. They don't have guns. Like, all he's doing is waving a pickaxe around.
There's like, probably like restrictions on it over there, I think.
Yeah,
like,
it's
I think
crazy.
Korea's pretty safe. Like this,
yeah, he's like trying to defend himself with a pickaxe. It's hilarious.
But literally, and there's so many people around and no one can like stop him. You know what I mean?
It's all about... But the thing is, it's all about saving face. Like, they can't afford another embarrassment to the police station. That's all it is. Like, that's not priorities, you know what I mean? It should be, where is the missing girl? Again, he gets arrested. The killer... I don't know. It's not actually shot like this. Yeah, he gets arrested. So, he's, like, driving towards jail. Like, sorry, towards the guy who wants to see him. She's like there cutting her ropes off, like getting a piece of plate, cutting her ropes, like Breaking Bad and shit, or the fuck they do. He asks for a cigarette in the back of the police car. He kind of like aggravates the cops for like saying they're dirty cops, essentially. Like, you guys are dirty. Like, no, you're dirty. Like, you're making more money than us. Like, just fucking bullshit. He says something, gets the driver's attention, and he kicks him in the face. And then like they spin out of control, hit a pole. He gets out, like smashes the fucking... the driver with
the
door.
He goes full savage in this scene. Hey, I thought this was so cool.
He goes savage.
And all cuffed and everything.
He goes savage. And you kind of like, you're rooting for him too. Like, fucking go. There's a guy there standing. He's like, give me your keys. Like,
he's like, all right, I better give him the key.
yeah, but he doesn't put up a fight.
He asks like, where is he? Where's the guy? He's like, he's probably out by now. It's like, oh, fuck. And this is like where the movie peaks, like from here throughout. Because they got this like ticking clock. Like crazy, because you know this guy's on the way home and he's like, I don't know how far he's away. He knows he's pretty far away. So he starts running, like trying to get there. She's out of her restraints. She jumps through the window after she smashes through it. There's a shot of this dog eating one of the dead bodies and I kind of like,
yeah, and pulling like arm out. Bro, Shane, one of your dogs would do that. You can't become a serial killer because one of your dogs will do that.
I wonder why,
Cardi,
like,
Cardi will ruin it.
Well, it's
for
weird.
You, Shane. That little mutt.
But they give,
dog.
Yeah. It's kind of weird that they hold on that shot. Like, wonder what the director was trying to tell you to, like, survival. Like, what this is what you do to survive is just, like, any means necessary. I don't know. And the dog, like, runs, like, past her. She's, like, dazed. She got, like, a fucking head injury. She's probably only running, like, on adrenaline. So she goes to the closest place. And this is what the worst thing about this movie is. You think she's home free. Oh, thank fuck.
Like, when you see her in the daytime, out in the open, like, oh, my God, yes. She's
out. This part of the movie makes me feel sick.
This is the best part. It's got like it's like when you watch a movie with a good twist in it and you're with someone else watching it.
That's right.
You're just like,
it takes away the whole
pay attention. This is like, this is what leads it. So she goes in, the storekeeper's like, oh my God, she's freaking out. Like, what the fuck? You okay?
The only thing I understand, so where's this woman cop? Because she is staking out.
She's stalking. Yeah, no, she's not. No, she's watching the fucking killer.
Yes, but why didn't she, like, she's not confused. Well, I guess what she
they're just bad cops. They're just shit. They're just like, okay, what do they think's going to happen? Like, what do you think's going to go down in the convenience store? Not going to think he's going to go on a murder spree after just getting released.
Yeah, but like, wouldn't she see him exit the supermarket and follow him to the house?
No, he goes through out the back door, remember?
The back door.
The back window.
Then wouldn't you... Oh, yeah, okay, fair enough.
No, the back window. Remember he, like, you can see it all bent up and shit?
Yeah, that's fair.
He sneaks out the back.
Yeah.
With the head, severed head and severed hands. It's fucking... Let's not jump too far ahead. You get shots of him sprinting towards the area, the pimp. And this guy, like, nonchalantly, with his cap on, glasses, like...
He looks like a movie star, by the way. This guy.
Yeah, this actor's so good. The killer's probably the best act. He's given my Oscar, so you guys don't steal it. He's out of cigarettes. It'd be good if a scene, like, you see him, like steal his cigarettes or some shit. Like, maybe the cop steals his cigarettes, like the pimp steals cigarettes.
Oh, yeah, so it's like the cop's fault again if they didn't take all his cigarettes.
Yeah, like a bit of like a butterfly effect type thing. Yeah. Where he's just like, give me those fucking smokes. And they take them all and, like,
a packet at him. It's a good little fix.
Yeah, it could have been in there because they do give attention to him, like, dropping the empty packet on the ground. It's just so fucking sad. Of course he goes in there. And the first time I watched this, I was like, oh my fucking God. Like, my heart sunk. I'm like, oh. He's not even interested too. He just wants to buy the cigarettes and leave.
Yeah.
Yes, and then the shopkeeper keeps giving him free information for nothing.
Fucking runs literally her fucking mouth.
She's delusional. I was pissed off. Just lock the door. Lock up the shop.
Run, bitch, run.
This is literally the most, like, agitating part of the movie. And she's like, what if that crazy guy comes in here? It's like, oh, I don't know, bitch. What would happen?
There's, he goes in, she's freaking out, and he's like, do you know about the lunatic that's, like, around the area? Like, this is what happened to your face. He's like, what lunatic? This someone had the girl in here, but she's in the back. And he's like, what? And she goes, oh, because he thinks about bailing, like, fucking leaving.
Mm.
It's a really good line. He goes, can you stay here a little bit longer? The killer might come back. He goes, why would the killer come in here? That's what he says. Why would this lunatic come in here?
Yeah.
And he's, like, literally in here right now. Yeah, no, it's fucking nuts. And so he's like, when was the last time, when did you call the police? Like, oh, it was a while ago. And he's probably thinking, like, these cops fucking suck. I don't know why. I think
he
like,
can do whatever he wants at this point.
He can do whatever he wants. That's right. So he asked for, like, do you have any, like, weapons, like, a club or hammer or something? And of course, she just stands there, gives him the hammer. The storekeeper goes, I feel safer you just being here. That's what she says to him.
It's like almost comedic, huh?
Safer you standing there. It's just, it's kind of funny, I guess. But you just feel that much dread.
Yeah.
It's all too easy for him too. It's the easiest fucking thing in the world for this cunt. That's what I'm talking about, this luck aspect.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's that luck aspect again, but this is like in the worst way.
For the girl, but not for the killer. The killer's loving it. You cut back to the cop because you still think there might be time to, like, find the body. And it's like, you can see it's a hot day. He's sweated. He's exhausted. He's, like, looking around for her. The next shot you get is the storekeeper rolling into the room with the unconscious girl because of the head injury. And you're like, oh, fuck, here we go. But you're still in the back of your mind, like, okay, there's still time. Like, you can, like, somehow find her in time.
And but, knowing that he's not that far away as well is, like, surely just, like, walk in, do something. But he's just, I don't know, he really shines in this scene. He just plays being defeated so well, doesn't he? Like, you can just tell he's exhausted. Mm-hmm. The last couple of days have been horrifying for him. He really put his all into it and it paid off
for
nothing.
We should feel sorry for this girl.
Well, because that too. She thinks no one's trying to find her, more or less.
Well, she's just, like, dazed as fuck, waiting for help.
Yeah.
This guy is, like, he gets close to her and he can see, like, it's a close-up of her lips. He can see her breathing, see her shaking. And he's, like, happy to see that she's alive. Like, he's just like, okay, I can actually fucking finish this bitch off. And he's like, what does he say to her? He's like, how'd you get out? It's like, fuck, he's just, oh, my God. That's the thing about Liz. No emotion there. Like, you're not worried about it. You don't feel anything for this girl. Yeah, so he just starts going to town with a hammer. This is slow motion.
Artfully done. This is very artful.
Yeah. It's like slow motion with a slow score, no ambient noise, no, like, crunch noises like you've heard before. It's played perfectly because you're just sitting there and your seat going, oh.
It really shows him being like a beast, like, you know, being like a real animal.
But you're like, you're defeated as well, funny enough. You're just like the pimp.
That's true.
You have the same feeling the pimp has. Like,
yeah.
You're just fucked.
It's like really like a letdown to see it all happen in a way.
It's so sad too because with all this, like, you see blood splatter and stuff. Like, the room is, like, the aftermath of that room is so just like, the word disturbing kids pop in my head, but it's disgusting. And she visualizes her daughter one last time as well. You see, like, her thinking about her daughter.
That's true.
Like, she's dead.
Yeah,
it's
that little,
so sad.
Yeah, image of her just smiling. Very sad.
You don't see this, but he pretty much cuts the head off and the hands and bails. And by the time the pimp gets there, the police are there. It's a police crime scene. He's just like screaming now. Like, this is the acting you're talking about, Jordan. He's just like, oh, let me in. Like, he's screaming names. Like, what the fuck? Like, if you listen to me, this never would have fucking happened. That's what he's essentially like so upset about.
Mm-mm.
So he goes to visit the daughter in the hospital. He's like coming up with a game plan, I think, or he's just processing the death of his whole mission of the movie that he's failed. And it cuts to our killer laying on the couch, shirt off, staring at the head in a fish tank and just like a little smirk on his face again.
He's like,
I hate
this
motherfucker.
Like, that was close.
Well, I don't know what the fuck he's thinking. He's just like, just admiring what he's done. Like, he is honestly one of the sickest people we've covered on the podcast. If not, like, but the thing is, it's so real, man. Like, you look at the villain in No Country for Old Men. He's like a Terminator almost. Fucking Chauveur, who his fucking name is.
Anton Sugar.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that guy. He's just not realistic, but he's still scary, of course. But this guy here, he's like human. He's like an evil human.
Mm.
There's something really cool about it. You kind of get like, I know this is gratifying for the audience, but the police station's like in anarchy. Someone let the bean slip, like someone got murdered again. And it was probably the person they let go.
Yeah.
So it's all
sure
fucked
up. They know. It's like,
yeah.
Fuck.
They know it's the guy who they let go just that morning. And there's like two dead bodies.
Yeah. And you see all the people that the pimps already talked to as well. Like, the pimps like did this shit yesterday. He worked all this out yesterday.
Yeah. It's frustrating. This movie's, you feel very frustrated, but it's like, fuck, if you just listened.
Mm.
It doesn't matter now. Like, it's all too late. So what's really left is vengeance. That's what this movie's kind of turned into, is a vengeance type of thing.
You just want to see the killer die.
Or at least the killer, yeah, I want to see him die.
That's the only thing that's left in this movie for.
But yeah, so he goes to the crime scene. He kind of works out how the killer got away with that behind the window. He like listens to the phone call, I think the last words of the mother. It's so fucking sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aww. It just keeps hitting you in the head. Like, you kind of like, and you at this point, you're like, fuck, this guy's going to get away. Like, a random dude holding an umbrella. He like blinks, it like turns into the killer, blinks again, it's not the killer. So he's kind of like, he probably feels like, I'm going to be like ridden with guilt for the rest of my life if I don't sort this out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hypervigilant.
He cut to like the killer, he's burying all the dead bodies, like cleaning up his mess. He kills the fucking dog. The way he does it too, he's like, come here, puppy, and just kills it. Like,
that's when
no
I wasn't on his side
heart.
Anymore. That was the moment when I'm like, nah.
Well, that was the moment, Tony. It took you that long to get to that moment of, nah, fuck this guy.
So how rare is it that you, like most serial killer movies, if you count a serial killer movie, I do.
Oh, yeah.
You just pepper in the villain. You don't even see his face because kind of like a mystery. That's half the fun.
Mm.
But in this, you with him, like, just as much as the lead. So you're like, oh, fuck, mate. That's why Tony loves him so much.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So now the killer's like getting all dressed up, putting his tie on.
Looks good.
He looks good. He's got glasses on. I think he's going to like try to bail. Like, he's trying to like.
I think he's going to leave the country now. He knows he's fucked.
Yeah. He probably still thinks he's untouchable because how inept the police are. Like, how.
Yeah, he'll probably get away with it for sure.
He's
like,
got away
the
with it this
were
long.
Late.
Yeah.
The police were late, Shane. He was out of there.
So the pimp, he sees the cross that's. Like, resembles the pictures he drew.
Yeah. And then he knows he's now down his location. And then he gets a name from a cop who's like, oh, yeah, the guy who sculpted this was this dude. And he was talking to somebody and he gave him the address to where the guy is.
Well, what was cool because he gets to like the actual door. For some reason, he's contemplating whether to go in or not.
No, I think he's like, should I go silently Like, no, like, no, no. Like, he didn't know. He's like about to ring the bell, but he's like, actually, this might, like, begin to run away. Like, I know what he's thinking. Yeah, it's like, how can I get through?
He looks at
the fence. Like, can I go over the fence? Then he like, oh wait, I have keys. He's like, I'll get him with the keys. Okay. Yeah,
I thought it was like a bit of doubt or something.
No, no, he was just like, how am I gonna get in? Because if I call, like, ring the doorbell. Well, no, maybe he doesn't know if he's there. I think he's gonna question the guy that lives here. He doesn't know the killer's there yet. He's like, actually, no, the killer is probably here because, like, it matches where, like,
well, it matches the key. Sense. The key matches the lock.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so he pulls the key out. It's very gratifying when he does, like, unlock it. It's like, tink. Then, oh my God, I love this scene. It's kind of like when Thanos and fucking Iron Man square up for the first time, or like Batman versus Superman in the rain. So they just both. He like opens all seven again, but he opens the door and like literally this guy's about to leave, and this is a whole luck thing that's peppered out throughout this movie, like how lucky he is that he just called him, and then I just like savor this moment how they're just standing there in the rain.
It's so calm. Let's go inside. Yeah,
let's go inside. And then he's just like, he tries to run away, gets to his bag, and like, you know, this guy's a little fucking rat too. Mm-hmm. So he's like digging around in his bag and shit. He's just got him with a hit. Like, this guy's just, anger's kind of controlling the pimp.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't really give a fuck anymore. So he's just like dragging him in. The pimp just stops. And then he looks down. He sees there's a fucking like knife in his leg.
Yeah, he's like, motherfucker.
And they're both like, look at this. I think you see the killer's face too. It's like a moment of just like, not like just stillness. And then he just frozen through a fucking door, and shit just hits the fucking, like, hits 100, hits 11. Like, this is so fucking intense, this scene. And, like, the way the guy's fighting is just, like, he's not taking him serious enough. He's not taking the little bitch serious enough, like, the killer. Like, he doesn't know how ruthless his killer is. Like, he'd do anything to win.
No, well, I think because he's kicked his ass two other times in this movie. Yeah. He just thinks, yeah, this is going to be easy. Done it before.
Well, like, overpower him. Like, once they're close and, like, using, like, brute strength, he overpowers them easily.
It's just because he got distracted by all the blood. He's like, what?
No, that's right. Yeah. And so what happens is he sees the dead head. He's got him pinned. Yeah. And he makes eye contact with the dead head. Oh, fuck me. Like, he just, I don't know, someone he presumably cared about now. It's kind of sad because you kind of don't really get a relationship beforehand, but you don't need it because I know, like, he's kind of, this is like kind of redemption thing for him, I guess. Mm. But he failed the redemption arc, which is, it's very, a lot of the questions get raised. But he's just sitting there, he looks down, body's gone, looks up, and then there's a fucking golf club swinging towards his head. Mm. And like, this is an intense fight scene. And it feels so real too. Like, he gets the upper hand because he's like, now he's dazed with it and they're getting fighting and shit. And you think the same thing happens again because he kind of gets control again of the fight. They both stand up and he goes to attack him because they both have a weapon now. He gets a hammer and he goes to like lunge at him and his leg doesn't work because he's lost too much blood in his leg. Mm. So now he's like, fuck. And now he's like, can't move properly. And the guy realizes, holy shit, I've got him now. Like, I've got a longer weapon. I'm faster. I'm more agile. And this guy's on his last legs.
Mm.
And so there's kind of like a Mexican standoff with the hammer versus.
It's so fucking funny. And he's like, I'm going to throw it at you. And like, he's at the upper hand for like 2 seconds. And he misses him.
Yeah. Well, the leg injury is finally fucking him up.
Yeah. He's losing blood.
Yeah. And so, yeah, he throws the hammer. Old mate tries to get him. This dude just has luck on his side. Like, it's fucking nuts. All I got in my notes is like, this movie's crazy. This is fucked up. Like, I couldn't really even.
It is one of those movies where you forget to take notes.
Yeah, I know. You're so enthralled. It's one of the best climaxes to a serial killer movie. This is better than Seven. Like, even though Seven's got that impact.
Seven. Shut up.
It's got the Seven's got the impact, but rewatches, man, this is better. 100%. No, this is. No. I felt every punch, bro. I felt everything.
It's too dark. This scene is too dark. I sometimes get confused and
I think it works for what.
No.
It is kind of dark in the way, and it's got that like philosophical, like, remember who you are, like, don't sink to his level. Like, you're better than him. Don't kill him. Kind of thing.
But he decides to kill him anyway. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Nah, fuck that. I don't think it's even about that. I don't know why. Anyway, so after this back and forth, he's like on the ground. He has this like weird looking club thing and he's getting smashed over the face with it. And there's a shot of him like reaching for the hammer with his hand. Oh, it's like floppy like a fish.
Yeah.
It's just like, nah, it's not. It's done. He's done. He's fucking done. And like, oh, like his last efforts, he gets a hammer. I think it's him once in the head.
Clawed in too?
No, I think it's the ball pain.
Oh,
like the actual,
yeah, you got him bad.
Yeah. He got him really bad. And he just collapses backwards.
The same hammer he used to kill her, right?
Yeah.
Poetic.
But at this point, you just feel like it's not going to end well for the pimp for like the whole time. Like most movies, you're like, oh no, our dad would like this movie, Tony.
Because
the amount of times we watch like James Bond or fucking any movie with like a lot of gunplay, that just like tunes out. Everyone just misses all this some ridiculous shit and all the bad guys, like six on one.
Everyone turns into stormtroopers.
It's just nuts. But this though, like it just holds your attention and it feels real. So he's on top of him with his fucking hammer. He's just about to do it. Here's the police come in. He tries to do it like even though they're there and they hold him back. So the movie pretty much ends with like the bodies being found. The guy gets arrested. He's walking to the hospital. You get a glimpse of the mayor.
Wait,
he's like ashamed of himself, isn't he, Tony? The mayor.
The mayor is like, "Where's all the reporters? Like, why am I not like the number one thing everyone's talking about? Like, I'm fine." Like,
but then, I thought it was different. I thought he was ashamed.
He's what everyone would care about him. But now, wait, the killer's found, but then he sees this guy, some random dude. He's like, "Oh shit! Like, is he gonna throw shit at me as well, or something?" Yeah. I don't know.
So pretty much, he goes into the child's hospital room. I feel like everyone's a loser in this movie. Everyone lost.
I do feel like he needs to be in the hospital for a different reason as well. He's pretty fucked up.
Yeah,
I know,
that's true. Yeah, it's probably the most unrealistic part of this movie is where he's all right.
He just always lives, always survives.
Altercation. But yeah, so the movie pans to out the window of the city and the movie ends.
Kind of like ends. It ends like how Miramax starts, you know, on the skyline.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so that was our movie. I'll do my final thoughts. I want to talk about the final act in my final thoughts. Ooh. That ending works on me every fucking time. Maybe because I forgot just
when
how
you say
it was.
Ending, you mean where the mother dies? That you're trying to say.
The mother dies and that fight scene.
The fight scene.
I knew what happened. I was just like edge of my seat, and I've seen the movie before, and that's so rare for a movie to do that to me. But it has probably been a couple of years since I've seen it. I don't think I'll forget.
With the rewatch, did you notice anything different like this time around?
No.
Not really. It's just how it is. That's a good thing. I guess that kind of says it's clean, you know?
It's just clean. The acting's really great. The killer. That's one thing about Korean movies. They always ace the villain.
Mm.
Like the good ones do anyway. I don't know if you've seen Ice or the Devil. Remember that villain, Tony?
A better movie.
Shit. Oof. What?
I prefer Ice or the Devil.
I prefer this. Ice or the Devil's fun. It's definitely a lot more. Less interesting. Anyway, who cares? Definitely rewatch this again. This is like one of my favorite movies. I'm going to give it 10 out of 10.
Oh, wow.
The ending just boosts it for me. Like, and this, it just blows me away every time I watch it. So, Jordan, do you think the girl should have survived? Yes or no?
To make it a more like well-rounded, like, happy ending, I think. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Because I guess the ending wasn't as satisfying as it could have been.
Not all about happy endings.
I am about happy endings. I'm you know, I'm a romantic kind of situation. Did you want to do your final thoughts, Tony?
I do enjoy this movie. It just sucks that Shane found it, not me.
Find it. Shorty found it.
Yeah. If I see it on a Blu-ray, JB Hi-Fi, I'll for sure buy it.
That's your highest rank, isn't it, Tony? That's your highest rank, isn't it?
No, I'm was it 4K? What's the new one called?
Idiot.
What's up?
You have a 4K
radio?
Player.
I'm going to get one. Was it called 4K? Is that what they call it?
4K.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy it in 4K, but I would buy it on Blu-ray.
Actually, we should talk about the budget real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Two
how
and
much
half
is it?
Million, $2.5 million budget.
And it feels like a huge movie. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah,
I suppose like they wouldn't have to. They didn't really have to do much with like sets and things like that.
Yeah, it's all location based. But interesting though, because there must be so much inflation in American movies, like $200 million. Because
it goes to the stars, man.
Well, yeah, and like look at like this compared to Hudson Hawk as well. Like that's just crazy.
The Hudson Hawk could have learned from this movie with the humor.
Yeah,
so well, I think I laughed more in this movie than I did Hudson Hawk, which is saying a lot.
Well, this movie made $36 million off a $2.6 million budget. I'm trying to think, like, if you, even like your mid-ranked, you know, Amazon Prime drama movies. They're like, you're looking at 20 million, I reckon. Probably more.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
So it's like, this movie is just, I don't, I think all Korean movies are, just don't have that inflation or the price tag it comes with, like, okay, you're making a movie in Hollywood, that's an extra, you know, 20 million, regardless. Like, you need to pay everyone X amount. I've already South Korea, they're probably like a more realistically run movie studios and shit like that. There's no price gouging, essentially. There's no price gouging to it. Tony, what do you rate this movie out of 10?
I like Hudson Hawk more than this movie, I think. Hudson Hawk's a more entertaining movie.
Are you fucking joking?
I'll give it I can't remember what I gave Hudson Hawk. I'm pretty sure I gave 8.7 or 8.8.
Bro, you just lost all
I'm gonna give this an 8.2 or 8.3.
All your credibility is gone.
All right, what do you rank Hudson Hawk? 8.5 or something?
8.5. The only just. Do you know what I mean? Hudson Hawk's only just better.
You're actually whack.
Save
the
save
subtitles. Was it? I can't get over that one.
There's subtitles.
They can't. It, what other solution is there? Like,
she went the dub. She went the dub version.
His turn.
All right. Yeah. Overall, really great movie. I really liked the storyline. The suspense throughout is really good. It's definitely like a roller coaster of a movie. And yeah, it keeps you on the edge of your seat throughout, doesn't it?
Yeah. Roller coaster is a great way to put it. There's like really good highs.
Yeah.
And they're like, I wouldn't say massive lows, but.
Yeah. And that's kind of leads me to my like criticism. Like the only thing that I didn't really like is that it was kind of flat in the middle. Like that was definitely like a low point of, I don't know. It hit a stalemate once the cops got involved kind of thing for a bit there. And then it only picked up once you kind of worked your way through that part of the movie. Oh, and like you kind of touched on before, I do think it would have been more effective if they left the girl alive. You know, it would have been nice to have that happy ending and, like, see her reunited with her kid and stuff like that. Just to, I don't know, just for an audience perspective, to make everything seem like it was worth it. So, yeah, that probably leads me to give it an 8 out of 10.
No shit, 8 out of 10.
Yep. It's, like, still pretty good, that's but, crazy. Yeah.
All right, no. Well, I feel like that's fucked up. I gave it a 10 out of 10 and you gave it a rating less than Tony, and Tony didn't like the movie. So you
wait, what did Tony? Well, I mean, then probably a 9, I guess. But then 9 is like big. Like, I don't like this movie as much as I like Black Swan.
Hudson Hawk. Another animal.
No. All right, so let's get to our Oscar picks. I hope you guys got your IMDb up so you can pronounce their names
properly.
Oh,
yeah. Good point.
Yeah, everyone's ready on that? I'll go first, and you guys already know who I'm giving it to. Make sure I got the right actor.
Ha Jung-woo. Yeah?
Yeah. Ha Jung-woo. So he played character Young Min-ji, which is the killer.
Oh.
This guy was amazing. Takes talent to be this, for me to hate you that much. And that's most characters you hate. So I got to give him props on that. But yeah, he makes the movie, I think. And like, obviously the decisions they make. So, all right. So what are you guys doing?
I know best director. I like this guy. All his movies he's made, I've liked him.
Well, you know, he shot a short film on a Galaxy 23 or some shit.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And it was good? Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it, no, but it looks interesting. But I think it was just a publicity move to like, look what we can make with didn't someone do something similar with an iPhone? I think it was Soderbergh or some shit. Soderbergh did something like that.
Someone has done something like that, yeah.
Yeah, he filmed it with an iPhone or some fucking shit. I can't remember what it was, though. But yeah, he filmed it with a Galaxy S23 Ultra.
Holy shit.
It looks good.
Anything's possible if you just believe, I guess.
But they probably just like, if you film with this, we'll give you X amount of money for your next movie. That's probably what they'll be like. But it's called Faith. It looks interesting. I wish it was like maybe feature length or something. But it's about a armed man in a secret location. Ooh.
Oh, interesting.
All right, so Jordan, who are you giving your Oscar to?
I'm going to give it to I'm going to give it to Best Actress, and I'm going to give it to Seo Yong-hee. Sorry.
Which is the chick that was going to get filmed.
No, the chick that was going to get killed, just only because, like,
He was going to get killed. Didn't she get killed?
The girl that got killed. I just because, like, when the murder starts, like, she really bodies it. She bodies, like, a lot of
the fear,
the pain, the victimization. Mm. I think she did really good. Yeah.
So we end the podcast the same way with three clues. The next episode, we all know the movie. So if you go and get the theme is Korean movies. So, was going to be something different, look, but it's kind of turned this way.
It's a better theme than freaking the last numbers being in order or some shit, whatever the fuck was that other one. Sorry, Shane, we're never going to let you live it down.
That was it?
Yeah.
The Blob. They're even bad movies too. The next one was Stir of the Blob. Echoes.
Stir of Echoes.
Other movies you could pick from 1999. American Beauty.
Directly. Yeah, no. So many.
So many good movies you could have picked.
Matrix.
Matrix, yes. Yeah,
The Mummy. Yeah, I know. There's so many. Don't worry about it. I just wanted to mix it up. Oh, we're almost at post 100, so you can pick all those movies you just mentioned. So let's go to our first clue. This movie has two female leads.
Wait. So is this the next? This is the next one in the still the Korean theme.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, still the Korean theme.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the movie has two. I feel like we've already done these clues before.
Yeah, I think I already know.
Tony, give us some clues for the movie we're covering.
There's a time travel aspect in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Netflix original, right?
Yeah, Netflix original. Well, no, it's not original. It's actually a remake of another movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
But it is a Netflix-produced movie.
Yep. It's got two female leads in it.
Yep. I think that's all the clues I've already got.
Fuck it. It's The Call. 2020. You guys will like it. It's a great movie.
It is a good movie. I'm excited to have rewatch of this one. Yeah, this is one I've actually seen. Wow. I think Quinny put it on because you guys were like, it's so good. You got to watch it.
It was so good. And what was your first impressions of it, Jordan?
I really liked it. It's definitely something unique, isn't it? And like a unique take on horror. And I kind of like ones with a bit more of like a fantasy aspect to it. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Genre blending.
I love how you're teasing this movie. All right, so we'll cover this next week. You can go first, Jordan, and how we're going to end the movie. So how would you change the ending of this movie, if you could?
Well, yeah, leave the girl alive. Let the cop get
it's
there
crucial.
Just in time to knock out the murderer and save the day.
All right, Tony, what about you?
All right, so in the movie with the pimp at like a bar or something, and he goes, I've had a rough day. Give me a shot. And he gives me like a tequila shot. Hey, what? No chaser? And then it ends.
That's pretty good.
That could be a pun, though. He just ruined his pun.
That's your pun and your ending at the same time.
Yes, how good is that? I'm the best.
That actually is good.
All right. So what I would do it is everything's exactly the same, but he actually kills the guy. Yeah.
Wow. He kills
or even
him.
Like, we know how they, you know how
what
they wrestle
is
this,
seven
around
chance, even more like seven, because he ends up killing.
I think
John
even
Doe.
Fuck, he deserves to die. There's not some part of this grand scheme where he wants to be killed. It's so crazy when you watch these movies the first time too, like how much emotions in your thought process. Because now when I first watched Seven, I was like, fucking kill this guy. I didn't give a fuck if he wants to be killed. Just
get
fucking
him done.
Kill him. But now when I watch him, like, now I'm actually like, no, he'll suffer more in prison knowing that he failed.
Well, is it? And that's what he wants more. Like, you give him what he wants. He wants to die. He wants to complete.
Give him exactly what he wants.
His vision.
He wants to complete his ritual, what the fuck he's doing. But yeah, no, I'll have it so when they fight, they break the fish tank, blah, blah, blah. So he's on the ground, but him with the hammer. And like, the head is right next to the guy's body. And so he's like, fuck you, and then does it.
Oh, that's actually kind of, like sweet touch. That's a sweet touch.
Yeah, instead of like, because he kind of sees the girl in like a kind of, doesn't he see a flashback of the girl? I can't remember now.
Yeah, he does think about the girl when he's about to hit him. I think that's what makes him bring the hammer down, but then the cops.
He should have just done it. Deserves it. All right, so let's do our final segment, Deadly Puns. A lot of people die in this movie, a dog included, which sucks.
I'll go first. So when you see the killer in the supermarket, he has the hammer, he closes the door, he goes like, clean up an aisle two. And it's like, starts whacking
him. Yeah, that's good. We love it.
That's how the cops break it to the pimp. He's like, what's going on in there? Well, all you could say is clean up an aisle two. Like, what a poor taste. No, I got one. So you could even go like that. So the mayor gets shit thrown in his face and they say, like, clean up an aisle face. That's bad.
Boo.
But no. So after the incident of the mayor getting shit splattered, they go like, oh my God, this is going to start a shitstorm.
No, like, yeah. Like I've heard a shit hit my fan, but this one really hit the, this is like a pie in the face.
You know? That sucks. Shit in the face, not the pie in the face. Yeah, no, all right, like, or, oh, no, he's doing something with a dog as well. Come here, boy, sit. And then he hits him.
No, damn boy.
The dog.
What do they say to the dog in Hudson Hawk?
Bunny, ball, ball. But my mom was like, fetch, boof, and then shoot him out the window.
Man. Okay. What about the Mary? Why you keep bothering me is pretty good. Deadly pun as he kills him. Why do you keep bothering me? Bang. All right. So, Jordan, have you got one yet?
No, because I'm slow today. I can't think of anything like.
Well, like you're hammered. I think actually I've seen.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, but good. We've seen that before. We use that in Silent Night, Deadly Night. Because you kill someone with a hammer.
No, or actually, yeah, guys, I thought the mayor was shit faced, but you're hammered.
That's good.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
When they're
that
using good. The we'll golf on clubs, one of them could say, like when four. They're beating each other with the golf clubs, they're like, let's put some music on and really make it clubbing.
No, see, that's better. let's go clubbing and yeah.
Let's go clubbing.
Start hitting each other. Yeah.
When they're fighting in the like last sequence, he's the club and shit. And he's like, "Would you calm down?" Blah blah blah. Like, it's just a prostitute. All she wanted to do was give me head, and I took it.
That's good. That's good. That's a good one. That is a good one.
Well, I don't right,
Tony, that was like actually that clever.
All right.
I still think the Captain Marvel 2 is the peak. Sorry.
The one we start with. All right, let's end the podcast on that note. See you guys all next week. Hope you guys answer the call.
Ooh, I'm excited.